Welcome to the Ruby V Exclusive on the Boom Bap Hour podcast. On the Ruby V Exclusive, we put the spotlight on issues that matter to our community. Today, we're talking about a pretty heated topic across the nation right now, critical race theory being taught in our schools. What is that, you ask? And why are school boards banning classes and books about racial issues in grades K through 12 right here in the CSRA? Today, we sat down with Dr. Mary Kate Lazotte, Associate Professor of Political Science at Augusta University, talking about critical race theory and education in the CSRA. And we are so happy to be here with Dr. Mary Kate Lazotte. And she is a political science professor at Augusta State University here in the CSRA. And we just want to thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. And sorry, just have to clarify, our name has changed a bunch, but now we're just Augusta University.
Gotcha.
Yes. Sure.
University. Absolutely. So yeah, definitely what we wanted to talk about today is basically critical race theory. I know that you teach a class at the university, which is relatively new. And I thought that it was quite refreshing because, I mean, you know, we're just coming off of Martin Luther King holiday. We're getting into, you know, Black History Month, you know, basically, you know, over from 2020 to now has been kind of like a little bit of a shift because everybody was talking about these issues after like the death of George Floyd. And then now it's almost seems like it's reverted and some people are scared to talk about these issues. So if you could just kind of let our audience know what exactly is critical race theory.
Sure. So critical race theory is a theory that was developed by, I believe it's Kimberly Crenshaw, who also came up with the idea of intersectional identity or intersectionality. So, you know, she's amazing. But she argued, I believe, in some written work in the 70s that in law schools, they should be teaching law students that there's more than just individual level racism, that there is structural, institutional, systematic racism, and that in order to understand race and politics, racial inequalities, white privilege, all of these different things, you need to understand that our institutions actually perpetuate inequalities, and that embedded in our institutions, including in our Constitution, are things that perpetuate inequalities and this type of structural or systematic racism. And so critical race theory itself is taught in law schools, it's taught in undergrad and graduate programs. But the idea of racism not just being how individuals treat one another, but that it could be at this structural institutional level is also something that, you know, high school students can understand and are often taught, perhaps not under the moniker of critical race theory, but, you know, they might learn about redlining or about the civil rights movement or all of these different events or, you know, historical things that have happened to try to fight against the institutional racism that exists in our country.
Absolutely. And I mean, the crazy thing is that it seems like, you know, for instance, like Governor Brian Kemp, you know, he basically said that it was a dangerous thing to talk about, you know, wasn't necessary for, you know, anyone K through 12 to be introduced to these things. But, you know, on the other hand, you know, there are incidents with children of color that are becoming younger and younger. I mean, you even have like police that are in our educational system that have had racist incidents against children, but yet and still, you know, these things are being shied away from being talked about. about. Why do you think that it's necessary to incorporate, you know, or it would be doing a disservice to not have these, you know, talk about these things in our schools at a younger level?
So I think that it's important for young people to understand that inequality exists, that, you know, there are things that can be done to help prevent and remedy the inequalities that exist, and that a large reason for, you know, discrimination and unequal outcomes is because of our institutions and the fact that a lot of our institutions are racist. And ultimately, I think one of the reasons why it makes people uncomfortable and why certain people are against it being taught to K through 12 students is because they don't know what it is. They don't understand that it has been taught and has been being taught in schools for a very long time, that they were probably exposed to these ideas when they were, you know, at least in high school. They learned about the civil rights movement. I mean, how can you learn about US history without learning about that? And if you learn about the civil rights movement, you're gonna learn about some of the things that they were fighting against or fighting for, right? It wasn't just about voting rights, although that was an important aspect. That was an institution that had racism embedded into it, but they were fighting for other things as well. And I think that people, for whatever reason, this has just become something that individuals who don't understand what it is have gotten, you know, fearful about. And ultimately, it's of so much value for everyone to understand, whether it be students who are from an immigrant background, from an African-American background, from a white background, from an Asian background. It really doesn't matter, to understand that many of our institutions have treated historically marginalized groups differently and worse. And that's one of the reasons why those groups have been historically marginalized. It wasn't because your average person had prejudiced views. It was because our institutions were prejudiced, and they continue to be. And, you know, there have been some strides, but obviously we know, you know, from what's been happening just over the last couple of years, institutional racism still exists. And, you know, the same is true for institutional sexism. You know, this idea that women, you know, couldn't have a credit card until the 1970s. You know, they couldn't own property for a very long time. They couldn't vote until, you know, 1920. Those sorts of things people don't have a problem with being taught in our schools, K through 12. How is this different? How is this a problem? And I think that, you know, some of the coverage that I've seen and some of the talking points that I've seen against it have been this idea that people don't want their six-year-old to feel like it's their fault because they're white that, you know, other people have. And of course, that's not how it's taught. Of course, that's not the message that a six-year-old is going to be given, that it is somehow their fault that there are inequalities. But, you know, age appropriate, I think these sorts of ideas can be taught, just like anything else about, you know, US history can be taught in an age appropriate way at different levels.
Right, right. And here's my thought about it is that, you know, how can you talk about the civil rights movement, which, you know, again, you know, that's a part of history, and not talk about the things that, like, you know, people who marched and, you know, were, you know, basically the troublesome things. They were thrown in jail, you know, water hoses, dogs, all that, you know, I mean, everything. How can you talk about one without, you know, talking about the other? I saw an interesting article from this interesting. He was a political science professor as well. I don't know where at, but he had an article that said, teach MLK, not CRT. And that MLK
basically, you know, would have rejected anything that had anything to do with critical race theory, you know, and it's kind of laughable because it's like you're kind of dismissing everything that happened to him and his whole legacy and everything he fought for. And you just want to, it's like the same people who are, you know, going against talking about it are the same ones who quote like one line. It's like they put MLK down to one line from the I Have a Dream speech. And he was about a whole lot more than that, you know? So it's just like people want to, put people into compartments for their own, you know, way of being comfortable than seeing the big picture. So what do you have to say? Do you think that MLK was CRT before it was called that?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I think, you know, anyone who thinks otherwise or says otherwise is having a misreading of, you know, the different things that he wrote and his speeches, and is misrepresenting what he was about. Like I said, you know, the civil rights movement was not just about securing voting rights, which are threatened again today. And, you know, that issue hasn't gone away, but it was about being able to rent or buy a home and not just in particular neighborhoods. It was about, you know, equal access to education. It was about not being discriminated against when you wanted to, you know, get hired to do whatever, you know, you were skilled and wanted to do for a living. It was about so much more than that. And I'm not as familiar as I should be, but I assume that he also talked about our criminal justice system. I'm sure that, you know, that must be a part of Letter from a Birmingham Jail. I would be shocked if it isn't. It's been a while since I read it and I'm not quite remembering, but yeah, I mean, all the same things that we talk about today when we talk about critical race theory and the fact that so many institutions have racism embedded into them, that they perpetuate unequal outcomes, are things that he was talking about too. So that's shocking. And I also think that it's unfortunate that when people talk about MLK or the civil rights movement or other individuals associated with the civil rights movement, there's this idea that they were not disruptive. And people complain about the Black Lives Movement or the women's marches or, you know, other protests and movements that have come up in the last, you know, decade or so as being disruptive. And, you know, having to corner off streets and having to have police focus on managing those, you know, demonstrators and making sure that they don't turn violent, all of these sorts of things. And the protests that were part of the civil rights movement were extremely disruptive. That was the point. So this idea that the civil rights movement, MLK, would not have supported CRT or Black Lives Matter and their tactics is, I don't understand where people are coming up with that. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, the Birmingham campaign of the civil rights movement, the point was to make it so that people would not go to downtown Birmingham and shop in the shops, so that the shop owners would finally push to have desegregation downtown and to serve anyone who wanted to shop at that store, because they realized we're losing all this business because of all these protests and marches and violence. I don't know what you read or who wrote that. And obviously, you know, academics come from different points of view. It's an inaccurate stereotype to say that all academics are liberal or progressive, but I would say that does not make sense. MLK definitely believed that our institutions were perpetuating structural racism, for sure.
Definitely. Well, what my hope is that with classes like yours and, you know, hopefully that will start some conversations. A lot of times a lot of times students themselves can be a great influencer to parents, to the, you know, older generation above themselves that, you know, hey, you know, we need to start changing things. We need to start changing, switching the conversation, you know, don't just sweep it under the rug or else, you know, we're going to repeat the same, you know, continue to repeat the same offenses that we have in the past. So, you know, again, just thank you so much for, you know, at least definitely starting that class and, you know, having those conversations. And, you know, definitely just want to thank you for being, you know, someone who, you know, definitely stood up and decided to really, you know, push for what, you know, everyone's truth is, you know, so that they can really have open discussions about it, especially coming up with, you know, Black History Month and MLK holiday just passing, you know, let's really, you know, dig deep and have some real conversations.
Yeah, well, sure. I mean, you know, it's part of my job to come up with new classes. And a race and politics class is super common at a lot of colleges and universities. You know, the smaller the department, the less likely it's going to be offered because you're less likely to have a professor who has an expertise in that area. But thankfully, you know, I took a class as a graduate student in that area, and I've written a little bit about Black women in politics. And so I really felt like, you know, given that no one else in our department had more of an expertise in the area, that it would make sense for me to offer it. And I think it's something that students, it was very popular. It was over enrolled. You know, students are interested in these sorts of topics. And I think as professors, you know, it's our job to try to offer courses that students are going to be interested in, along with, you know, the things that they really need to know and should be taking. But yeah, I mean, I think that I really hope that those students that have taken the class, you know, continue in their curiosity and their advocacy and their interest in the topic as much as possible. You know, one of the assignments for the class was to investigate an advocacy organization, and they could pick, you know, any advocacy organization that they wanted to. And I think it was a great opportunity for the students to learn about different advocacy organizations and kind of understand what's out there. Because, you know, an organization like Black Lives Matter, nothing wrong with that organization, but it gets a lot of media attention. But there's lots of other organizations that are worthy of our time and our money if, you know, we care about these sorts of issues. And so I think, you know, hopefully those students will continue to, you know, be interested and, you know, at some point or another, be able to give their time or their money to help with these sorts of issues.
Absolutely. Well, I just want to thank you. Definitely thank you for joining us today. And is there anything you'd like to add?
That's a good question. I talked a lot. I'm sorry about that. I would say the only thing that I want to add is that I think that, you know, as you mentioned, it seems as though in some ways perhaps there's less attention on these issues right now than there was, you know, summer 2020. And I think that people who were active in the movement in summer 2020 might feel discouraged right now, because if you look at public opinion polls, it looks as though there has been this backlash against the Black Lives Matter movement. You know, it was gaining ground. Public opinion, it's still a majority, it's a small majority, about 55% are favorable to the Black Lives Matter movement. But, you know, it had been higher than that at one point. And I think that this issue of critical race theory being taught in schools is part of that backlash. And I think that it's probably being orchestrated to get people to, you know, not pay attention to that issue in the same way, to not be persuaded by the protests. And I think that that's really unfortunate. And it's a distraction. It's a distraction from the issues that really do matter and that deserve our attention. And those are things like healthcare inequalities and income inequalities and problems with our criminal justice system. All of these issues are very real, and a lot of them are life and death. And we shouldn't be worrying so much about what our educators are doing, because they have expertise, they know what they're doing, and we should trust them. And so I would just say, try not to be discouraged, because 55% is still a majority. It's not a huge majority of the country, but 55% supporting the Black Lives Movement is still something to be proud of. And, you know, more work needs to be done, but these things aren't always perfectly linear. And, you know, progress, of course, is often takes a long time and a lot of work. And so, you know, of course, being tired and feeling like not enough progress has happened is totally legitimate and valid to feel that way. And if you need to take a break for, you know, your own personal health, your own mental health, then, you know, for sure do that. But when you can, you know, get back involved and try not to be discouraged. Look at the civil rights movement. You know, there were lots of setbacks that they had to endure. And yet, you know, in a lot of ways, they were very successful. So I guess that's, yeah, that would be the only other thing that I'd want to say.
Well, thank you so much again, Dr. Lizoff, for definitely joining us today. And it's a pleasure. Hope we can have you on our show again soon. And again, it was a pleasure having you, okay?
Thank you. Have a great day. It was nice meeting you.
Thank you both. I greatly appreciate it.
Okay, it's the Boom Bap Hour. Keep it locked.
That was Dr. Mary Kate Lizotte, Associate Professor of Political Science at Augusta University, joining us on the Ruby Bee Exclusive. Join in on the conversation and tell me what you think about CRT on social media. You can follow us at the Boom Bap Hour on all social media platforms, and follow me on Facebook and IG at Mrs. Ruby V, and on Twitter at The Real Mrs. Ruby V. Thanks again for joining me on the Ruby V Exclusive on the Boom Bap Hour. See you next time.